gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll
free
from anywhere.
Do not wear flip-flops if you're going to be walking on sunshine. Ow!
Yeah. It burns!
Sorry about that. Who is that voice? It's the voice of comedy legend, Rick Overton.
What?
Is
what
the? Live in
Spawn? Good morning, everybody. See? I'm just crazy neighbor Rick. Just happy neighborhood.
Ding dong! Yeah.
Can I borrow a cup of funny?
It's crazy.
Why, if it isn't Mrs. Nussbaum.
Why, look,
you were
here
expecting maybe Weinstein Churchill?
And now that we're on TV, we can't do those stupid radio sound effects.
No.
He's not here yet. Oh, now he's here. Oh, look. Hi, Rick.
Hi.
I thought it was Alan Seuss coming to the wall there.
I heard you were discussing dinner and just thought I'd stop by and intrude.
Where's my laugh track? Let's go.
Oh.
All right.
You know, my wife's meatloaf. we're paving the driveway with it.
All right, so Rick Overton, star of stage, screen, literally. Here's what I love is that even though I've known you for 1,000 years, our friendship is, as Judy Tenuta said last week, older than God's pants. And yet every time they send me your entire resume, which is many, many pages long.
Yeah, and you're included on it.
Yeah, which, what, oh, this show?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh. I was going through my mental Rolodex of canceled TV shows. So, and speaking of comedy legends, Dan Rather joined us in about a half an hour.
That's right.
Wow.
Courage.
What's the frequency, Kenneth? It's
Courage.
This one.
I'm not saying you took it, Dan, but I also do a news hunk. I'm sure we're just thinking on parallel lines.
All right, StephanieMiller.com, the website, SexyLiberal.com. Here's the best thing about the TV gig. Free hats. Free hats. This one from Bad Dog Frida in Madison, Wisconsin. Huh?
Nice.
Dog is good. Yeah.
Okay. Dog is good.
So is dyslexia.
What?
Dyslexia is
what?
Good.
What? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the Mentum.
I heard you were Liz Dexic.
I'm Rolexic.
The Mentum continues. Wow. George W. Bush wins for most tepid Romney endorsement yet. Did you see that right before an elevator closes?
I guess you'll do.
I'm going straight to hell.
An ABC News reporter asked him if he was endorsing Romney. Literally, the elevator doors are closing. He's like, I'm for Romney.
Yeah, sure.
Slam.
Right.
Notice they haven't trotted him out.
No.
At all.
No.
Hmm.
Polling shows, of course, many people still blame him, as they should, for the economy.
Yeah.
And everything else bad that happened over the last 10 years.
Yeah. He didn't even bother giving the elevator door.
12 years, what I'm saying.
He didn't even bother with that.
Yeah.
As the doors closed on him.
Yeah.
Oh, and maybe I should say a couple other things.
Hold the door. Yeah, hold the door for me. Could you please hold the door? Oh, man.
Oh, he probably did the fake I tried. Too late.
Wrong button.
Sorry.
Oh, sorry. Hit the close button.
Oopsie. Stuff happens.
Let's hope it's the close button on
Mistakes
Romney's
were
campaign.
Made.
All right. Here's the other breaking news. He has a new cat named Bob, George W. Bush. Who names the cat Bob?
I toyed with naming my cat Paul.
I like the one-name male, you know. But,
yeah, well, to hold him down in the tub.
If he had three other cats named John, George, and Ringo.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. He enjoys playing with lizards, probably torturing them, much like his owner indoors enjoys torturing.
Yeah, right.
People that... Okay.
Make him talk. Did he admit to causing 9/11?
That's where he got the ideas for Abu Ghraib.
Yeah.
Gitmo. We're just watching his cat. Okay. Oh, that was... What? Okay. So, Rick Overton, you have not been here since the big breaking news. The president is speaking out in favor of marriage equality. I got to say, some news stories making me a little... Huh? There was one, you know, that parsed sort of all the polls and shows net-net that it's not good so far. I'm hoping... What was the quote I was thinking of today? I don't know who said it. The arc of history is long, but it always bends toward justice.
Martin Luther King, yes.
Thank you. Oh, look, he didn't guess the quote right.
Wow.
I didn't even know what it was... Thank you. Thank you, Jim. That's so startling. Both that I got a quote right and he knew who said it.
I barely had time to process that quote and you got it right.
Rodney King. No.
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 John King. No.
No.
Larry King.
No. But, you know, it's so far, and it's hard to tell because you don't know. I mean, you know, they parse them so, like, to every last. But, you know, it's showing that I think what it is this is an emotional issue, and on both sides it's an emotional issue. But it's like they were saying the emotion against something tends to, you know, to drive turnout more. And I hope that's not true. I hope, because it's that ick factor, the people that really, really hate gay people are going to vote in greater numbers than either the people in the middle that don't really care.
I think in magicians' terms, they've brought the whole issue up as being the busy hand.
Yeah. Right.
While they're sticking the rabbit here. Back in the cummerbund somewhere else, you know. I think that they synthesize stuff like this to keep us focusing on it, while at the same time they're robbing, they're pulling more rights away, they're doing other things with the subtle hand. And because considering the fact that the gay community in the Republican Party is like a clown car. There's a lot of gay people in the Republican Party.
Yeah. Well, but that's what I mean. It's like the one thing that gives you hope is you go, this is becoming a nonpartisan issue even in the Republican Party. When you've got the Dick Cheneys and, you know, all these Republicans in New York that helped fund passing marriage equality, you go, this is not even. So that's why I was a little, not surprised, because that's why I thought it took courage, because your gut instinct is this could hurt him in the few swing states, and in a country that's so 50-50, this could hurt him. And that's why the one thing that really annoyed me is in the New York Times poll we did yesterday, is that the majority of people think he did it for political reasons, and you go, anybody would say that's why this takes courage, because you don't know how this is going to play out, which is what he said when he said it. He said, this could hurt me politically in some places. I feel it's the right thing to do.
I think the places where it would hurt him, he was lost there anyway.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's that kind of analysis, but I'm just hearing analysis all over the place. And maybe because it's early, it's a first gut reaction, and you have to hope that, you know, over time.
Luckily, the opposition is Romney.
Yes. Well, there's that. Mittens with no core principles of any kind.
No. Baby King, Freddie King, Albert King. What? I'm sorry. No,
I'm just not
going to be honest with you.
Chicken a la King. We're done with the guest to quote the King thing. That's done. Okay. By the way, King James was a homo. Okay, someone told us that yesterday.
Yeah. Just look at the...
I'm just saying. I don't know. Someone just let us know that.
Big homo.
But, you know, that's the thing. It's like we're making such progress in gay rights. There's so many hopeful polls and things happening. And then you look, and yesterday, I don't know if you saw this, but this was heartbreaking. Vote by a Republican representative with a gay son kills Colorado civil union bill. And his wife, the kid's mother, is there crying while this guy's voting against his son's. I mean, you should go, what? Republicans in Colorado's House State Veterans and Military Affairs Committee, they voted yesterday to kill a proposed bill to legalize same-sex civil unions that was expected to pass the larger House of Representatives. One of the deciding votes belonged to Representative Don Corum, a Republican whose son is openly gay. I'm reading, I think it was the NPR analysis of it. Is a Republican, whose son is gay, cited his reasons for voting against the measure while his wife wiped away tears in the audience.
How can he face his golfing buddies if he doesn't do this? That's his
real family.
Yeah,
which is more important than your son. Yeah, right. For a Republican, more important than your family. Yeah, I mean, just that was heartbreaking. And this was just, again, not even gay marriage, just civil unions to give his son, you know, some of the same rights that he has. I mean, it just that was just heartbreaking to me, and kind of, because that's the thing that you find is that, you know, the more you know somebody, it's your son, it's your, you know, favorite comedian, it's your whoever, that you know, predicates polling changing toward gay rights. But anyway, that one. But then we have to hand it to Senator Lincoln Chafee. He's now governor of Rhode Island, right? Chris, he used to be. Well, he's an independent now.
Yeah.
He was somebody too sane to stay a Republican, so now he's independent. But he signed a bill so that, Chris, what is it? So marriage is done elsewhere or will be recognized in, gay marriage will be recognized in Rhode Island. And he's, like, leading the charge for marriage equality in Rhode Island. So.
Well, his name is Lincoln. I mean, as Republicans go, you know.
Thank you. And then I hear stories like this where I think, I don't know, we're just great big dopes, and that's why Romney could win. Man fist pumps 16 hours in a quest for a world record. First of all, that's a lot of fisting. Second of all,
oh, man.
James Peterson completed 16 hours of fist pumping in an attempt to set a Guinness World Record. He says he super glued his hand into a clenched fist to make sure his pump was documented correctly by a video crew. So that happened.
Okay, so he's cheating to start.
Yes.
Makes perfect sense.
Just saying.
Yeah, yeah. And
then here's another fine American. Man shoots friend in his leg at his request. Authorities say New York man had his friend shoot him in the leg because he wanted to know what it feels like to be shot.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Okay.
That's nature working its we're overpopulated magic and just shutting the survival switch off like a
yes.
M. Night Shyamalan movie, you know.
He is recovering, not intellectually, but physically. He's, and we wish him well.
I just freaking shot myself.
Just shot my friend. Shot my friend, because
The friend is no prize either, you know.
Well, good. The friend finally, just to get him to shut up. All right.
Bang, okay.
Slam.
Shoot him in the head, it would be more effective. If you want to
Jim Louise. Come on.
Ow, you shot me!
Well, okay. Yeah.
So what does it feel like to be duct taped to a chair and rolled down a flight of stairs? You know, like in Blues
Brothers.
I'd love
to find out.
In a school desk, a little chair school desk. I thought that looked so funny.
All right, 18 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. The politics of dancing are our own. In this message on the stage.
Oh, you're smiling. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes
let
after
go,
the hour.
Let go, let God. Let go, let God.
Let go and let God. Oh,
says
Jehovah God.
Yes, that's the
Jehovah
atheist.
Jehovah God. Oh, dear Jehovah God. The end of the show technically is near. Dear God.
No, the show just started. We haven't even done Dan Rather yet.
No. 23 minutes after the hour. Oh, so it turns out on the radio side, we're actually not on the air. They're running a best of because something else was being fed through something.
No!
And that's why Chris was not constipated.
Linking it with the doohickey. And the what's-its.
See, now that we're on TV, people can see you ignoring me and frowning furiously. So I'm like,
yeah, you were asking me questions, and I was like, don't.
See, he's my professional husband, and I should know the not now, honey, look.
Yeah, no. Not a good thing.
Tense period, you're not talking to me! Why are you being so distant? What you thinking over there, funny face?
Penny for your thoughts.
Oh, we're not on the air? Okay.
Yeah. All right. That's a problem. Minor glitch.
Yeah. All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. We're on the TV. That's the important thing.
Yeah. Hi, yeah. TV.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, look, our big jangly 1940s telephone is ringing, which means...
It's Dick.
You
know, are you in?
It's the guy who's trying to kill you for the life insurance money.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Wondering why we're not on the air.
Yeah, he has no sense of what we do or what time.
What can I say?
Yeah, he tends to call us live, and then he also tends to send us news stories.
Yeah.
Do you get those, Jim? He sends us,
like,
you know...
3 days after the event happened.
Okay, did you guys hear the president is in favor of marriage equality?
Yes.
We're like, oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. We didn't have news wires or televisions or any sort of... Okay. All right, so, yes, so that's what we were talking about. This is, I think, actually L.A. Times piece, analysis, gay marriage decision not working in Obama's favor so far. Rick, we were saying, do you think that's just the first knee-jerk reaction in polling, or...
I don't trust the first poll.
Hey! I don't know what that means.
As far as, you know, stripper joints and stuff like that. I find that it's, you know, polls are... influenced by influenced people, and so that it's going to shake out towards the end of the summer. This is all going to shake out.
Right. They are sort of all over the place.
The debates are going to change everything. Yep.
Oh dear God! Yeah, the LA Times saying the first wave of polling is in the resorts aren't looking particularly good for Obama. Taken together, four different national opinion surveys over the past week by reputable organizations with good track records indicate the president's stand could well hurt him politically. Unsurprisingly, the numbers are fairly close, but often gets pointed out tight elections are decided by small numbers of voters. So that's, you know, and that's why that was the thing that was most surprising to me is people say, oh, it was political. To me, that was real leadership and courage because he said, this could hurt me politically. I mean, and you know, but that's when, you know, he said it's the right thing to do. I mean, listen, this is how you know. Pat Buchanan, to demonize gay marriage, he flip-flops on slavery. Because, you know, Pat Buchanan, as I've often said, bigotry is bigotry is bigotry.
Yeah.
I don't know if you'll
recall. MSNBC's Pat Buchanan. Yeah,
yes.
Right.
Yes. Not anymore.
I know. Finally.
I think the blacks ought to thank us for the free boat ride over here.
That's essentially what he said. Thank you, Jim, for paraphrasing. But when then-Senator Obama gave that great, remember the race on speech, speech on race?
Yeah.
Yes. A More Perfect Union in March 2008. That's when Pat Buchanan decided to pen this. America has been the best country on earth for black folks. It was here that 600,000 black people brought from Africa in slave ships grew into a community of 40 million, were introduced to Christian salvation, and reached the greatest levels of freedom and prosperity blacks have ever known. We hear the grievances. Where's the gratitude?
Where's the gratitude?
Where's the thanks, y'all? Where's the thanks for the free boat ride?
And the lynchings and the bombing of churches.
Anyway, so yesterday he's on at Fox News, and he said, the American people aren't accepting of gay marriage. Do you think 2,000 years of all Western civilization has been engaged in horrendous bigotry because they denied the right of homosexuals to marry? Megyn Kelly observed, we were bigoted and discriminated against blacks for a couple hundred years in this country. Buchanan replied, well, the idea of slavery is evil. We all agree with that. Well, except for you a few months ago.
Yeah.
You talked about a couple of years ago when you talked about how really great it was. I mean...
He had a little meeting. They brought him in for a meeting. Goes, okay, we're going to put you back on TV again.
Yes.
But you've got to slip in how that's bad.
Slavery
now.
Was evil.
Slavery,
say it with me.
Say
it with me, Pat. Slavery. We all agree. Right. We all agree, Pat?
We want to get some letters that don't have what you are.
Almost as evil as liberalism.
No.
Pat, get back in the office.
Come back.
On.
Okay.
Pat, to the main office. Pat, to the main office.
How many times did that come over the PA at MSNBC?
Pat Buchanan.
Turn off his mic. Turn off his mic.
Please report to my office.
After a while, you can hear it on air. Excuse me a minute, Ed.
Pat Buchanan, please don't say anything else. No, I'm talking now. No, now report to my office.
Some of these people think homosexuality just kind of happened in the 60s. It just
no,
came
according
out of
to Mitt Romney, they didn't have that in
no,
the 60s.
No, it didn't even cross their mind in the 60s.
No, we didn't call it that. We called it hazing for our fraternity.
Jinx.
Rick, we were saying, like, it doesn't matter when you went to school. You know who that kid was, whether he was gay or not. It was the kid that was perceived to be gay, that was perceived to be different, that got bullied. And yeah. Romney's like, I don't remember the incident at all, but I do remember that I didn't know he was gay. What? Oops. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, he chuckled warmly, remembering the incident.
And when I did or didn't do that, allegedly.
He wasn't gay. That. And believe me, I tried. I mean,
what if I said again? Oh,
Mitt to the main office.
Mitt, please report to Pat Buchanan's office.
Anyway, but I think, as I've said, it's what leadership is. And there's a story today, the Obama effect, major political figures who have come out for marriage equality just this week, which, you know, that's, again, what leaders do is there's been, and I'm talking about part of this is really bipartisan. This is Governor Lincoln Chafee that I was talking about. He issued an executive order requiring all state agencies to recognize same-sex marriages, even ones that are, performed in other states. So I say, go Lincoln. Let's give a boy a hand. It's your birthday. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, I've waited my whole career to say Dan Rather next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Seriously, Stephanie Miller, you are my Oprah.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Well, this is very, very exciting. I must say, I never thought I'd get to say good morning, Dan Rather. Good morning, Dan Rather, are you there? Oh, dear. We're really having a technical day of things here. Hello, Dan, are you there? Okay, then.
All right, then.
Oh, and that's the way it is. So that's the internet.
Yeah, well, I think if Dan were here, he would say.
If I was of a conspiratorial nature, I would say the fact that Dan Rather's about to come on and talk about what happened to him at CBS might be some sort of...
Interesting.
A snossage?
Yes, that would be a snossage. Should I try again? I guess I'll try... I guess Rebecca's trying to see if he's there. Huh. I don't know, Jim. I'm just saying, interesting. The right-wing blogosphere was able to get Dan Rather fired from CBS Evening News. Perhaps they can knock us off the air.
Yeah, because he was accused of using phony documents about the Bush...
story that was true.
Yeah. Which is actually true.
Yeah.
He may have been given phony copies of the documents to deliberately to trip him up.
Yeah.
But the story was absolutely true.
Yeah.
Everyone knew that was the guy you went to if you wanted to get your kid out of serving in Vietnam.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's why, I mean, the whole, and he talks about, this book is really, it is fascinating, rather outspoken, my life in the news.
Rather outspoken.
All right. Well, I guess I could wait.
We have Tom Brokaw instead.
Yeah, why don't we talk to Tom?
Let's Tom Brokaw.
I never thought I'd get to say this. Good morning, Tom Brokaw.
Lost here at Lillehammer, Norway, during the Olympic... No, what?
Okay.
Let's send this show to the Museum of Broadcasting.
I think so. I think it's already been entered into the Smithsonian. Is this related to this technical issue, or is Dan not on the phone?
No, Dan's not on the phone.
I think we're in the Museum of...
Okay.
So this is something completely different.
Oh, well, looky what's happening now.
And now it's something completely different.
Somewhere, Al Gore is shaking his head sadly.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear. What have I done?
Just like Florida in 2000.
All right. We'll get back on track. All right. I'm not conceding. All right. I was talking, Rick Boberton, about leadership. Courage, as Dan Rather would say.
Courage. Porridge.
This is just this week, in wake of President Obama taking the lead on marriage equality. Senator Jack Reed, a Democrat, Rhode Island, offered his support not only for same-sex marriage, but for the respect... I didn't know this was existed. The Respect for Marriage Act, which would repeal the Discriminatory Defense of Marriage Act. Harry Reid has released an extremely supportive statement calling it no business of mine if two men or two women want to get married, and absurd that such marriages would have an impact on his life. He added he would support legalizing same-sex marriage in Nevada. Yeah, it's kind of embarrassing to have Las Vegas in your state and say you're for keeping the sanctity of marriage. The sanctity of the place Britney Spears can get married for 14 hours. Steny Hoyer, Democratic whip, joined the chorus, saying extending marriage equality is the right thing to do and will not in any way undermine the institution of marriage. Bob Kerry, who's running for re-election, former Senator Bob Kerry, running again, voiced his support, calling it increased awareness of the struggle of gay and lesbian Americans. Illinois Governor Pat Quinn came out for marriage equality on Friday, and he said this week he's committed to working with state lawmakers to make it a reality in Illinois. James Clyburn added his support as for same-sex marriage as a civil right, which he believes should be supported by national policy. So that's just this week. All right, what's
turning around?
Are we ready to rock and roll? Okay. I always thought I would never be able to say good morning, Dan Rather.
Good morning.
Yay! Sorry, Dan. We've been having some technical issues this morning. What a thrill to talk to you.
Well, thank you very much for having me on. I appreciate it greatly.
I never thought I'd get to say good morning, Dan Rather, and also that you have the same publisher I do, Grand Central Publishing. I'm writing a book for them right now, but your book is fabulous, Rather Outspoken, My Life in the News. We were just saying, while we were waiting to talk to you, you've got to get it more into this whole, you know, what happened to you at CBS, because I grew up with you, we all did, you're just an institution, and... You know, you were reporting a story that was correct about George W. Bush. Take us inside what happened at CBS then.
Well, I will do that. It happened 8 years ago. I left CBS 6 years ago, and I'm well past it. But for anybody interested, it's a relatively small part of the book. That there was no joy in doing it. It was unpleasant. But when we got to the truth of a young George Bush's military service, what we found was true, undeniable. Number one, he got in the so-called champagne unit of the National Guard through the influence of his father to avoid the possibility of going to Vietnam. Then two, after he got into the service, he disappeared for a long period of time. Now, if you're a soldier in Afghanistan and Iraq and you disappear overnight, that's a serious offense. And he was never held to account for that. He at the very least was AWOL, and given how long he left, Pentagon officials said to us that he was guilty of desertion, which is a very serious offense. We reported a true story. Powerful interests, powerful partisan political and ideological interests didn't like the story, so what they sought to do was discredit us, and they launched a big campaign, which unfortunately the corporate powers be in the ownership of CBS News, because they have a lot of business to do in Washington, they decided to fire a bunch of people and eventually put me out. That's what happened. How it happened, as I say, it's been a long time ago for anybody who's interested. There are three chapters, somewhat less than a fourth of the book, that deal in detail with my side of that story.
Well, Dan, you know, one thing I hadn't heard is, you know, Sumner Redstone, who, of course, is the chairman of CBS's parent company, Viacom, had signaled his unequivocal support for George Bush's second term by saying a Republican administration was better for Viacom than a Democratic one.
That's true, and that was really at the base of our difficulties. Let's note that Sumner Redstone has every right to say, you know, who he's for in a presidential campaign. What he doesn't have a right to do, in my opinion, and I think the public would share this, to say, and therefore, because I favor George Bush's reelection, I don't want our news department reporting unpleasant facts about him. This has to do with the corporatization of news, which I think the public needs to understand, that very large corporations, no more than six, now control more than 80% of the true national distribution of news in the country. This is not healthy for the country. It's not a conservative issue or a liberal issue or a Democratic or Republican. I think we can all agree that we don't want a few corporate chieftains, such as Mr. Redstone, deciding what we see and how we see it and calling reporters off of deep-digging investigative stories.
Well, Dan, I think that, you know, and not to suck up to my current employer, but that's what I love, you know, that they're trying to do at Current, is, you know, counter some of that corporate influence, because some of the mainstream media drives us crazy here, where we say there's always got to be two sides to every story. So, well, sometimes there aren't. Sometimes the facts don't support one side or the other, but there's, you know, don't you feel that corporate interest makes everything, you know, everybody has to go, oh, let's you know, present this side and that side, even if they feel no journalist, you know, inkling to have to tell someone, well, that's incorrect. Those facts are incorrect that you're stating right now.
Well, this is exactly so. And when I talk about the corporatization of the news in the book, and that's a thread running through the book, I wish I could use language that was gentler. But very big international corporations are in bed with big government, whether that government be Republican or Democrat, and they need each other. They need things from each other, and they influence the news much more than should be the case. And this is a real problem in the country, that news is in a crisis. And one reason it's in a crisis is because the Internet has become, if it isn't dominant already, it will soon be dominate the place where most people get their news. But these problems, I think they will sort themselves out in time. But in the meantime, we do have to be concerned about these huge corporate interests in coercion with very big government influencing the news we see. And the point you make, there are independent places on television and radio which are trying to buck this trend. But up to and including the present moment, they haven't been able to crack through it.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the reason I've always trusted you is that Dick Nixon hated you. I love that part of the book, that you were distrusted by President Nixon, who could be heard on one of the infamous tapes telling his daughter, Rather's a bastard. But, you know, there was another story. I mean, that's a perfect example of investigative journalism. And, you know, you've reported on all of it, right? From, you know, Watergate to, you know, way back when, right?
Well, that's true. I've been really lucky and blessed. I've been on some big stories in my time, including the Watergate story. And, you know, Watergate is one word shorthand for, and there's never any joy in saying this, there was a widespread criminal conspiracy, unfortunately led by the President of the United States himself out of the Oval Office, which is what drove him for office, made him the only president in history to resign. Again, it wasn't pleasant to report that story. I was hoping against hope, as the story developed, that it would turn out the president was not involved. But when he was involved, of course, when you report that kind of news, there's a price to pay for it.
Dan, before you go, real quick, we've been talking about the marriage equality fight as sort of, you know, the civil rights battle of our generation, how that'll play out in this election. You know, as someone that obviously reported on the civil rights movement in the 60s, the protests in Birmingham, how do you think this will play out and how do you see it?
Well, over the long pull, I think it will play out similar to what happened with the civil rights movement of dealing with the voting rights and other rights of people of color. But in the short term, I think I'm in a minority among reporters. I think this is somewhat damaging to President Obama's chances in the fall. Let me make clear, I think he made the right decision. But in the middle of a presidential election campaign, my assessment is it hurts him. The economy is the main thing that hurts him, and it's one reason I say my own assessment at this time in May, it's still early, is that President Obama is no better than even money to be reelected. This is going to be a very tough, very expensive, very nasty campaign, and I'm not saying he will lose it, but I'm saying that it's certainly possible that he will lose in November.
Yep. Dan, always such a pleasure to watch you, and it's really a thrill to meet you. Rather Outspoken, My Life in the News is the book. Dan, thanks so much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it greatly.
All right. Thank you. There he
goes. Wow. Legend.
Oh, yeah. See? Harsh in my buzz, though, this morning. That's what I'm But well, he's right. It is early. I'm just, yeah. But yeah, I know.
Election were held today.
Yes, and if my aunt had a, she'd be my uncle. All right, 45 minutes after the hour. Back with more with Rick Overton live in studio on The Stephanie Miller Show.
This is all very strange.
I agree. Something's not right.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I'm pushing
already. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. This hour brought to you by GoToMyPC. Access your Mac or PC from anywhere with GoToMyPC. That's what we use. We love it. Visit GoToMyPC. Try it free for 45 days. For our exclusive offer, visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the Try It Free button and the promo code Stephanie. Yes, Chris, why are you smiling warmly at me?
Because everything is
everything's fine
everything
now.
Is everything is fine. It's all fine.
It's all fine. All is well in the village again.
Producer Chris has a technical bug up his ass. He's going to, you need a lot of drinks to kill that bug up your ass.
I do. I really do.
Help me. We're all fine now. We're back on the air.
Yep.
All right. Yes, we were lost to radio land there for a while due to the thingamahizzle being misused by a hoogamazazzle. Over there. It's a technical thing. Don't worry.
Yeah.
It's inside radio.
The Hoosie What's It's is shop. Not connected to the thingamajig.
No, shop talk. Okay. All right. But Rick Overton remains live. And speaking of live, you can see Rick Overton live in Los Angeles.
Tomorrow at Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach. That's George Carlin's birthday show. Kelly Carlin's going to be hosting, and a lot of fine folks are going to be there doing... some comedy in honor of dear Uncle George.
Yay, exactly.
Will you be saying 7 words?
I'm sure someone will.
Yeah. We each get a word.
Yeah. All right. Oh, speaking of Los, this is all comes magically full circle. We just talked to Dan Rather, who Dick Nixon famously called a bastard.
Talking to me?
Asking about the Dear Steph, my crazy liberal wife and I have tickets to your sexy liberal show July 28th at the Pantages Theater. Actually, he wrote August 28th, which is the wrong date. So I hope that you don't go a month late. It's July 28th. Check your ticket.
Oh, dear.
Selling out quickly. Here's a fun fact. Did you know that Richard Nixon broadcast his famous checkered speech in 1952 on TV from the Pantages?
Really?
No, I did not know that.
Wow.
Yeah, the sappy speech that about his dog that saved his political butt and led directly to Watergate.
You'd better wear a Republican cloth coat.
Yeah.
For sure. When you're teabagging, wear a respectable Republican cloth coat and nothing else.
So I just got a visual of a drunken Pat Nixon naked except for a cloth coat.
Oh, boy.
Getting teabagged by... Okay, you know what, Jim? Thanks a lot. Thanks.
You know what? Someone in the chat room has a good point.
Huh.
They think it might have been the ghost of Richard Nixon who put out the wrong date.
Because
Republicans are good with dirty tricks like that.
Snap! I got you. From beyond. I don't call me Tricky Dick for nothing.
So I got to thinking, since we're both ex-Catholics, how about we find a defrocked priest to perform a pseudo-exorcism on the Pantages stage during a show to rid us of Nixon's ghost?
We'll have
an ecclesiastical move. We have our personal comedy Jesus, John Fugelsang.
He's never been frocked, so he can't be defrocked.
No, he'll take care of that. Comedy. Jesus. Okay. Debbie in Oregon, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Deb.
Hi, Steph. I was talking to my mom the other day.
Yes.
Who's 17 years older than me. Anyway, the reason that I'm calling is because one of the things that she brought up, I think, is one of the reasons that Dan Rather is a little concerned. And I think that those of the heavy-duty religious side,
yes,
are scared that if we do the civil rights thing and the proper thing, which is to, you know, just let everybody get married, and it doesn't matter who the heck they have to marry, that is going to lead to people trying to force the churches to marry same-sex couples. And I think the one thing that we need to do, whether it's us pushing the president or it's us starting it and letting him pick it up, maybe do a Biden, I don't know what else to say, mm-hmm. is that what we need is civil marriage. And then they can do religious marriage all they want to. Try and get married in this country and have any legal authority accept it without a marriage license, good luck.
Yeah.
And that has to be given to you by City Hall, which is the government.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
whether it's in your state or whatever.
I think that would be
civil marriage.
Yeah, I think everybody's been, I mean, the president especially has been clear about that, you know, there should be separation of church and state. That he's not forcing, we're not churching churches to do anything.
Right.
You know, this is about equal rights. But, by the way, I think that might have been the ghost of Dan Rather that knocked us off the air earlier. The ghost of Richard Nixon that knocked us off the air. He was like, I'm never going to have that bastard Rather on.
Ha ha. Showed him. Got to get him off. Got the hook. Pull it.
All right. Rose in Illinois.
We don't have Dick Nixon's ghost to kick around anymore.
No, we don't.
Hello.
Hello, Rose in Illinois.
Hello, something I'm sure you're tired of hearing. You guys are wonderful.
Thank you. No, never tired.
Never. Back up the truck.
Never. Bring it on.
Dump it on us.
Yesterday you were talking with Ian. That was a cat. Very happy that I finally made it on, I guess.
Oh.
Yeah. You were talking with Ian yesterday of the Kung Fu Grip.
Yeah, Ian Millhiser.
Yes.
And the subject of gay adoption had come up.
Right.
And I do have to say, my parents were very young when they had me. They kind of got married because of me. And my aunt, her and her partner had a very, very large part of my upbringing. And I learned mostly about empathy and caring and compassion for others from watching them. I watched them go through so much in their lives, financially, emotionally, health-wise, and they stuck with it through thick and thin.
Wow.
I watched my parents go through multiple marriages, divorces. And for stability, I had my aunt. And I actually took her out to breakfast not too long ago for her birthday, and I thanked her, actually, for being there for me for all of these years. She's still been there for the past 40-some-odd years.
Wow.
And she told me, she's like, you know, we actually wanted to take you. We wanted to bring you and have you live with us. But the court actually said no.
Oh, wow.
And
you never knew that story till now?
No, not about the court part. I didn't know. And I wonder, I mean, I like myself and who I am, but I do wonder what it could have been like if I had been with them full time.
Wow.
I really do.
Well, what a beautiful story. Thank you for that, Rose. That's very sweet. Thank you.
Thank you guys for being you.
All right. Aw. You know, Greg in Denver wrote the same thing. I thought it was interesting after we talked about that yesterday. Staff, wait. So if I get this straight, no pun intended, a baby can be raised in a Catholic orphanage staffed by nuns who are all women, but they can't be raised by two women who happen to be gay and can give the child much more attention than a staff of nuns with a large population of children in the orphanage. WTF. I heard Tony Perkins trying to justify this in an interview on Hardball. These people are bad. Crazy.
They are.
Greg in Denver. Yes. Thank you, Greg. You're the smartest boy in class this morning. Thank you.
I suspect some nuns may be that.
Yeah. What? Jim. Sister Charles Brunson from my high school would be appalled that you said that.
I have an actual Sister Luke and an actual Sister Philip Michael in my school.
Oh, man.
Sister Bush,
Miami Vice nuns.
Sister Luke looked like a bulldog.
Mm.
Seriously,
I had one of those.
Yeah.
Okay, 58 minutes after the hour. Right back.
It's really a dog collar.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, and I feel
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. No, really, this time. Six minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number.
Hot mic.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Crystal Boy Voice, Dee Dee, Jim Ward, and me, Stephanie Miller, Rick Overton, comedian extraordinaire, live in studio all 3 hours.
Where?
You don't say.
Right here.
We had some technical difficulties in the last hour. And I did not realize, apparently, the Radio Land did not hear the Dan Rather interview, which is...
Oh, great.
Current did, though. People who watch Current did.
Hello, Current TV Land. All right.
And people who listen on the Ustream heard it.
Yes.
So they didn't just have this big test pattern with the Indian head on it.
No.
And Current TV fans got the added benefit of seeing the wacky sitcom engineer in here running around screaming on a phone and touching things.
That was kind of necessary to do that, though.
Yeah. Well, Rick Overton was kidding playing the wacky next-door neighbor last hour, but this was like the real... it's like the engineer from WKRP.
High-speed Benny Hill music as he, pulls wires out, sparks are flying.
Exactly. Yeah, and so then apparently people were calling. The phone calls were all about the topic they were running on the best of. Yeah, so that was... All right. We're back! I'm going to do it again, just as as a skit this time.
I don't want to ever do that again.
And have move really fast. Move really quickly while he's touching things.
All right. We were talking, and one of the things I thought it was depressing, and yet Dan Rather should know, he's reported on everything ever.
Yeah.
Yes. As we're reporting, as we said, from Captain America's underpants, he's reported from God's underpants, which are old. According to Judy Tenuta, he's covered everything.
Could happen.
He was saying he thinks that that this really could hurt the president in this election cycle. It's going to be the marriage equality issue because it's going to be so tight.
Well, what's the poll in America of people who go for it?
Well, it's I was looking at the LA Times analysis, a gay marriage decision not working in Obama's favor so far. But the other thing we were saying is hopefully that's like a knee jerk because the people that are against it tend to react more like the.
They like
the ick factor,
that.
Like, oh, gack. And then over time, it may change.
The poll takers like to put a negative spin on things. Right. I think they're cherry picking who they ask, too,
Right. Well, for instance, this made me feel better because Gawker brings us three different polls. Oafish Americans simultaneously happy, sad, and oblivious.
Oafish.
A new report says nearly one quarter of American families have no savings at all, probably why another survey found American consumers are resoundingly pessimistic. A third survey out today found Americans are resoundingly optimistic. In fact, 58% predict they will be good a year from now. We are morons.
And they're asking one guy, how's it looking? Terrible. I ask you again, how's it looking? Yes. Not bad. One more time. Great!
They asked one
cookies?
One bipolar man. So they got
I'm tripolar. Tripolar. I'm better. I got one more.
See, this is why we can sell so much Prozac.
Sometimes I'm happy.
Are you ever slightly anxious or depressed? Yes, I'm human.
Yeah. Hey, restless leg, that's what made Elvis famous.
Well, bless my soul.
All right, you asked, all right, I finally got through all this. You asked Rick Overton. They're talking about all the polls, as I was mentioning. There's sort of an aggregate of four. But this is kind of what some of them are saying. Perhaps the most encouraging sign for Obama comes from a new ABC Washington Post poll, which found that independent swing voters had a slightly more favorable than unfavorable view of his position, because as Dan Rather was just telling us, this is going to be very tight. It usually is in this country. We're generally always a 50-50 country. They pointed out independents who reacted most strongly to the decision tilted against it. That's what I mean, is most people that...
Right.
That would be their knee jerk.
I'm outraged. I don't know about what yet, but I will be.
I get soon. Right.
I'm told I'm angry. My radio says I'm infuriated.
And that strong sentiment can better predict voter turnout and vote preferences. Well, we've been saying this since day one. This is all going to be about turnout. Is this going to mobilize more young people and gay people and, some of the people that elected the president the first time? Or is it going to mobilize these evangelicals who
they've already
are turned off by Romney,
Now, 27%.
Yeah, well, right. A Gallup poll found that overall the change in public opinion was a net minus for Obama, though. The organization cautioned that results could change depending on the degree to which same-sex marriage is or is not a campaign issue in the fall, which, that's the other thing, is by then it's just could be not. The New York Times poll, for instance, found this what I found troubling. Chris found 38% of Americans favor marriage equality, which is much lower than, and they even say that in here, longer-term trends continue to move in the direction of overall public acceptance. That's the lowest number I've heard. I've mostly heard majority support in the 50s.
Well, yeah, but those polls usually include civil unions along with marriage equality.
Oh, okay. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, I'd love to find out, by what, when they do a poll, is it 1 in 1,000 people they ask?
Right.
That's
right.
It's kind of a gray area, the fact that they see these are our concise poll numbers. You
right,
know,
Now, a lot of interesting thoughts in this in the L.A. Times analysis. They say there's also a reasonable argument to be made that those opposed to gay marriage were never particularly disposed to vote for the president anyway, which is what you said, Rick, last hour, that this decision will continue to energize his supporters, though it's also having the same effect for evangelicals who were cool to Mitt Romney because he's... overall, the poll data, particularly among voters in the middle who typically decide close elections, would seem to validate Obama's earlier decision against endorsing same-sex marriage prior to the election.
What would your reaction be if we asked you this
all
question?
All I'm saying is you whiny liberals that were screaming about the president, if he loses the election, and then we have Mitt Romney and we go back 1,000 years on gay rights.
Or any kind of rights,
right.
Really.
Yes.
From the center of New Zealand, it's the Stephanie Miller
yes,
Show.
Exactly. It's important.
From Christchurch.
Really, we did that piece on health care, right, that we're getting faced by Ghana. We may move to Ghana to get better
healthcare. And Rwanda.
Yeah.
One of the poorest countries on Earth, and we're getting faced by Rwanda.
Yeah, we'll probably have better technical service in Rwanda and better health care.
Wasn't
Romney
she the sister on Good Times?
No, that's different.
Jim.
Anyway, LA Times analysis finishing. It's important to notice the polls results give Americans a sense of Americans' immediate reactions, like we were just saying. It's possible
immediate
the impact.
Immediate knee-jerk reactions. Yes. No.
No.
Maybe.
Yes.
I don't know.
I'm panicky.
Vote yes or no.
It's possible the impact of Obama's same-sex marriage position will ultimately be greater or lesser depending on the attention paid, blah, blah, blah. So Dan Rather did say that, too. It's May.
Yeah.
It's early for a lot of things.
A lot of things can be repaired or shaken out by releasing that word now.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
I think the debates are going to erase a lot of this.
Yeah. Well, it also because I think on television you can tend to see that... president is an authentic person with authentic principles. Mitt Romney is just, oh my God, did you see that hilarious James Lipton piece, him trying to teach Mitt Romney how to
yes,
act human?
Oh, no.
Where was this?
Where did you find that?
I saw a clip of it yesterday on TV, but he just is like going, your eyes don't match when you're laughing. Your eyes don't match. All right. Let's go to Loretta in Florida on the polls. Hey, Loretta, welcome.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I've called you several times, and I've always been too nervous to say how much I love your show.
Aww.
I'm so glad it's on TV for a lot of reasons.
We love you back.
But I want to tell you, I've been a volunteer with Organizing for America. I've been going for the last 7 or 8 weeks down to their office to make calls and stuff. And number one, we have been mobbed with volunteers. We have had people just, every one of us commenting on how everyone we call is, yeah, I'm voting for the president. There's no question, no. And we have a lot of older Democrats down here. We're in Florida. And they're saying, well, I can't volunteer, honey, but if you'll tell me what the address is, I'll send in some money. You know, so I'm wondering where these polls are coming from, because this is freaking Florida. And if we're having this kind of result here, I just don't know who they're talking to and what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's, you know, look, Larry the Landslide Lizard could still be stretching and warming up. You never know. We could just be unnecessarily nervous.
I wouldn't count on that.
But there is... No, but, you know, there's a...
I think we need to move forward thinking that it is going to be really, really close, and we need to work really,
this
really
just
hard.
Just in, Larry the Landslide Lizard was crushed by Victor the Victory Elephant.
No. It's not going to happen. But, you know, part of it's just change is always hard, right? Rick, I mean, my 89-year-old Republican mom, I remember many years ago when this issue first came up, she loves me, far from homophobic, but I remember her just saying, oh, well, that's the way it's always been. A man and a woman. And, like, even when you try to go, well, yes, but
not
we didn't let
really.
Women vote and we didn't let black people marry. You know, and sometimes those, it's on emotional issues, that doesn't resonate yet. It takes
airplane
time.
Airplane cabins used to not be pressurized.
There you go.
So you had the
try
Dodge Mountains flying across the country.
And fly through thunderstorms because you couldn't fly above them.
And dodge smoke from people's cigarettes.
Yeah. And that was just the pilot.
Yeah. Well, just, if the mountain doesn't kill you, the cancer will.
Yeah, exactly.
Kickbacks, relax.
Rick just did a hilarious impression of when the flight attendant comes out of the cockpit with an alarmed look on her face. And tries to look normal.
Everything's fine. Everybody
act normal. It's all good.
Don't panic. Whatever you do not panic.
Oh, here's
everything's fine.
Here's an on.
All is well.
Here's
that's
an
the way I look
joke.
Coming out of the Dan Rather interview about marriage equality. Okay, I'm sure it'll be fine.
Here's an on-camera joke for you. Sorry, folks, I don't. But here's on real time. Here's every guest on Bill Maher's conservative guest on real time with the sound off.
Okay, all right. That was just for the TV land.
He's sweating and over gesticulating.
Yes.
And blinking too much they and code look, and, you know.
They all look exactly the same.
Knows he doesn't belong there and he's doomed, you know.
All right. 17, that was also a good impression of a Christian in front of a lion back in, okay. All right.
He's playing the lion.
Yeah.
Especially the tugging at the collar.
Okay. Back in the year 60.
Right, yeah. Right. Uh-huh. 17 minutes after the hour. Back more with Live with Rick Overton in studio on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Kid tested. John Conyers approved. It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I think radio killed the radio star.
Yeah, well.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Comedian extraordinaire Rick Overton live in studio with us all 3 hours.
Live?
Hilarious. Representative Jackie Spear coming up in just a few minutes. Debbie in Houston, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Rick. Hi, Debbie. Hi, Deb.
Hi.
Hi.
Come in, Deb.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm going ahead. My sister-in-law was gay. She died a few years ago. Mm. And before she told her brother, my husband, she told me. And this was in the 80s. And I loved her right off the bat. We were friends, best friends for all those years. And we brought her brother around. I raised my children with that same giving and live and let live philosophy. He didn't vote in the last election, my husband. He's going to this time. We also have 4 more members of my family that are going to vote, all for Obama.
Aww.
And I just wanted to say I wish to God that she would have been able to listen to you talk because she missed that. And I want to thank you very much for everything you've done and for all of your friends who've also done the same thing.
Oh, Debbie, thank you. Thank you. That means a lot to me. That means a lot to me. And that's why I think it meant, you know, so much to so many people. I mean, who doesn't have a gay friend or relative these days? And I think, you know, to see a sitting president of the United States, to live to see that, just that's a great moment, isn't it? To know there are probably gay kids that are not going to kill themselves because they watch the president of the United States tell them that they're okay.
Yep. Yes, and not go through hard times. And also to have somebody like you stick out for them.
Aw, well, thank you, Deb. I appreciate it. Your sister had a really good sister, so we appreciate you listening.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. Aw, that's
nice.
That was very sweet.
Don't start crying.
I know. I tend to cry a lot.
You're
that's my
crying.
Gig. That's my gig. I'm the chick that cries.
That's your
on
bag.
The
and you're not even drunk like Bronner.
I'm the chick that cries on the radio. No, that's the sad thing is I'm actually not drunk in the morning when I cry on the radio. Okay.
That's because you never worked in a tavern.
Can't we broadcast this from a tavern? Wouldn't we have better technical luck? Fred in Manhattan.
Something to wash down your food with.
Fred in Manhattan.
Hi, Steph, Chris, Jim, Rick.
Hello.
Yes. Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Keep sticking to the facts.
Yes.
And regarding a polling, if you're calling me on the phone for my opinion or money, forget it. I don't know who you are or what you're going to do with the information, and you don't really want my opinion. And
yeah, I, frankly, Fred, I hang up on all those people. You can just tell from the tone of voice what it is immediately.
Who are you talking to, right?
Yeah.
And then as far as the marriage thing goes, I don't need your opinion or your permission to get married. I can go get married.
Right.
And so I wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah. Right.
I can get married.
Yeah, you're right. There is an insulting tinge to that. Like, oh, do I have your permission to exist, you know, or to conduct my life or make my choices the way I'd like to? Mm-hmm. I'm getting good at that, you know, where you just, you know, just the tone of voice. First of all, there's just a long enough pause that you know it's some sort of telemarketer of some sort. And you just get that. I've gotten like a land speed record where, hi, Stephanie, I'm no, thank you. And then just, no, thanks. No, thank you. No. Whatever it is, no.
Well, you know, the church, the actual technical reason the church is against gay marriage is that gay married couples don't produce new people who go to church.
And give money to the church.
It shuts off the Matrix production line of body batteries
that's
in the
right.
glue pocket, you know. That's the real, actual technical reason they don't want it. The people in the middle and down from there don't know that part. They really believe the dogma. But all the people at the top in church, they don't believe in God.
Yeah, I mean, and
they're
plus,
laughing
as we were
and
talking
partying
about,
and just using the money.
Right. As we were talking about with Dan Rather last hour, I mean, the mainstream media, we were saying they found that, you know, the one black preacher that I'm going to vote against Obama now because of this. I mean, they interviewed some boxer that I don't even know who
Manny
it is.
Pacquiao.
Right. He criticized the president. I'm like going, he gets punched in the head for a living. Who cares?
I think he said something to the effect of gay should be executed or something like that.
Sure.
There's no chance that this guy could have some money problems that they just showed up and solved, right? No chance that the punch-drunk knucklehead had some issues that, you know, they could make go away.
Yeah. Yeah. Bristol Palin giving the president parenting advice. Really? Can we? All right. Let's see. Brian in Michigan, real quick. Hey, Brian, welcome.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Stephanie. I got two things I want to bring up. One on the polling. If they're still using landlines to do the polling for phone polling, I mean, people under 30 or 35, most of them don't have landlines.
Yeah, I don't have a landline anymore.
That's leaving out a big liberal group of people that's not even being polled. And then the second issue is. I wish you guys would stop calling it Fox News. How about Fox and not news?
Yeah, yeah.
Most of it's opinion, conjecture, and just made up stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
So how about Fox not news from now on?
Or Fox Opinion Network. I'd be fine if they called it Fox Opinion Network.
Fox Spews.
Yeah.
There you go. Thank you, Rick. All right. I missed that part of Bristol Palin's thing, Chris, as she ended it with saying, maybe the president should parent instead of, you know, reflecting what a teenager thinks that's seen one too many episode of Glee. It's like, where do we even start
with that?
There's
so many levels of hypocrisy there.
Yeah. Doesn't the giant irony hook just come down and grab you like one of those toy things at the arcade and just dump you somewhere? lift you right away?
I'm sorry, Bristol, you were saying 29 minutes after the hour. Clink. Back with Representative Jackie Speier next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Story of my life. My cuteness interferes with people hearing my message.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Comedian Rick Overton live in studio with us, munching Mama's leftovers.
Excellent.
As we smell good.
Oh, are you foisting that pea and shrimp stuff on him?
Yes. Oh. Yes, the giant vat of food had a baby.
It's only been sitting in the sun for a few days.
It'll be fine. Okay. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. One of our very personal favorites, Representative Jackie Speier of the great state of California, joins us now. Good morning, Representative.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
Hi. Well, you know, apparently
don't
we're
eat that shrimp. It's probably not good for you.
From the Gulf.
That's bad when you're warned from long distance on the phone.
Yes. And she knows
really
about health care.
Oh, man.
Full of BP oil and corrects it. What could possibly go wrong?
Representative, I'm doing as well as can be expected in the midst of a prairie fire of debt, as Mitt Romney calls it. A prairie fire of debt is sweeping across Iowa and our nation every day. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, and yet, again, how many times can we say it, totally ignoring that tax cuts for the rich and these two wars that were not on the books are what ran up this debt in the first place, right?
Precisely right. $5 trillion. Oh, $5 trillion over 10 years is what the Bush tax cuts is costing each of us as Americans. Unsustainable.
Yeah, and as Jay Carney said, you know, the Obama policies that reversed the cataclysmic decline in our economy that now has us growing for 11 straight quarters. How do you feel like Mitt Romney's making his case so far? How do you think it's playing?
Well, facts don't mean anything. That's what's so disturbing. Facts don't mean anything in this dialogue anymore. He just keeps saying what he says, and we have to keep refuting it. And, you know, the conservative talk shows kind of do their number. And, you know, falsehoods just get repeated. And they become truth. It's frightening, really. And the American people, I think, need to do more due diligence in terms of understanding what's really at stake here and recognizing what is fact and what is not.
Well,
anything on Fox News, I think, falls.
right away. That's a starting point. You know, but he said yesterday in Iowa, Mitt Romney, my time spent building businesses and leading state government. Well, first of all, I think the president's first ad is pretty good. He didn't spend his time building businesses. You know, Newt Gingrich, as you know, referred to him as a corporate raider. Rick Perry referred to him as a vulture capitalist. Maybe we should just use some sound clips from the Republicans in the primary.
Yeah. Well, I hope that they do because, you know, Bain Capital was created to make money, to take companies, they turn them around by dumping all of the labor union employees and, you know, reconstructing them and then selling them off.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, I think there's that argument. And then the other thing, obviously what's going on in Congress right now, once again, in terms of addressing the debt, John Boehner has threatened to take the debt limit hostage again, right? I mean, this deal that we just made, we were here last August, right?
You know, that's the most frightening thing that's been said all year, in truth. If, in fact, we're going to play games with the debt limit again, it will be cataclysmic. And if you look back at those few days, I mean, the stock market tanked. It had global repercussions. And it would be absolutely irresponsible for us to engage in that kind of political theater.
Well, here he is, John Boehner, yesterday.
When the time comes, I will again insist on my simple principle of cuts and reforms greater than the debt limit increase.
I mean, are we really? I mean, really? We got downgraded the last time when we did this, and they're going to do it again? What's your take on how this is going to play out this time?
I think that, you know, their goal has been very consistent. Just make sure the economy tanks so that we can win the election.
Mm-hmm.
And they're willing to take this to September, October, and do the same thing all over, and they think they'll have, you know, enough going for them at that point that it will get them the presidency.
Well, I hate to have facts to back you up, but according to the Economic Policy Institute, the cuts demanded by the Republicans in exchange for raising the debt limit would cost the economy 1.8 million jobs this year. I mean, you know, at some point you go, yeah, this looks really deliberate.
You know, the charts that show the decline of jobs under George Bush that were sizable, millions of jobs. And then since President Obama has taken office after the first 3 or 4 months, the increase in jobs over that period of time says it all. Jobs have been created under one administration and destroyed under the other.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, it could be why we got that resounding endorsement of Mitt Romney from George W. Bush yesterday as an elevator closed in the 4 seconds.
I guess.
Maybe they don't want him involved so much.
I guess he'll do whatever.
I mean, no one even bothered to put a hand in the elevator door so he could speak for a second more.
It would have been better if it was just a bathroom stall.
Yeah.
I believe in Romney. Someone's in here.
I'm in here. Representative, I think that, you know, that says everything you need to know. Yeah, why isn't George Bush out there? Why don't they want George Bush's face on the campaign trail for Romney? Because, you know, polling show that most Americans agree with us.
Well, and the disaster of his last year in office and the number of jobs lost under the guise that all of these tax cuts were going to create economic growth, you know, it speaks for itself. It didn't create economic growth. It created, you know, more money in the hands of the wealthiest and everyone else on unemployment lines.
Well, and, you know, I think George Bush gave a speech not too long ago, didn't he? Where he can't raise taxes on the job creators. With no explanation of why that didn't work then during his term. Right?
That's right.
All right. So,
not create, I mean destroy.
Yeah.
Ship overseas.
Representative Speer, yeah. You know, it's interesting. We you know, hear about this war on women, but, I mean, it seems like time and time again, they just keep proving it. Like, things that should not be partisan, the Violence Against Women Act reauthorization. What is going on with that?
So here we have a bill coming over from the Senate with a lopsided support that's bipartisan, 68-31. It's been, the Violence Against Women Act has been around for 18 years. It's been reauthorized a number of times. It has always been a bipartisan bill. What is not bipartisan about wanting to make sure that domestic violence is addressed in this country and to be serious about it and to treat it like a crime, like it is? And yet, that's exactly what my brethren on the Republican side are doing. They want to create an environment where gay couples aren't going to have the same benefits as everyone else, that Native American women are not going to be able to get the kind of relief that they deserve. And it is just I can't understand why they think this makes them look good or how this gives them points on the popularity scale. Because
well, look at any issue, letting you know, student loan rates double. You go, how does that help you with the youth vote? You know, and they had no interest in that until Mitt Romney was forced to say, okay, I'm for that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just think, I mean, you literally think even things that would seem smart politically, they're not willing to do because the president is for it, right?
That's right. And yet, you know, I'm now serving on the Armed Services Committee. I've got to tell you, it is such an eye-opener. I mean, to have shipbuilding going on in this country right now where we've spent $6 billion on a ship that can't float.
Yeah, yes.
A
yes.
Ship that can't float.
Oh, it's yeah. Like the island of misfit toys. Yes.
But we're not willing to take $6 billion and prevent the interest rate to go up on student loan programs.
Well, it's a joke, but it's true. It's the island of misfit military toys. The F-50, you know, that plane that can't fly in the rain.
F-22.
Right, that can't fly in the rain.
They're scared of it, yeah, right.
Yes.
Well, and
but,
also,
you know, the oxygen system on the F-22 doesn't work, so the pilots won't get into the planes anymore and fly them.
Right, they're refusing
to
fly.
And we have a mothballed fleet of them now.
Yeah.
It's hard to fly when you're unconscious.
Yes, yes.
Chokes them out.
Jim's our flight expert here. Representative Speer, speaking of veterans, I know you are doing it's time to, as you say, end the delay in May. You're asking veterans with backlog claims at the VA to a fix-it meeting. That's coming up Monday, right?
That's 21st. Right. You know, there's an average of 320 days for a claim to be housed at the Oakland VA. It is an abysmal record, and a new audit has just come out that shows that 39% of the claims that have been audited had mistakes in them, including 57% of the cases involving traumatic brain injury. You know, we're real good at wanting to support our soldiers when they're overseas, but boy, when they come home and they become veterans, different story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we're going to also have caseworkers available. It's going to be May 21st at the War Memorial Building in San Francisco from 1 to 4. We're going to have the director of the VA in Oakland there to testify. And having the caseworkers there to help people who have got claims is going to be a great benefit. I went and spent about 2 hours with the VA in Oakland a couple of months ago, took them 9 cases. And interestingly enough, of those 9 cases, 8 of them have been resolved in favor of the veterans since then. So,
well, you are a curious creature, Congresswoman Speer. You continue to seem to do real things for real constituents, and it's not the way of Congress these days. veterans should sign up for the fix-it meeting in advance so your claims can be reviewed, right? So they should call your office?
That's right.
Okay. All right. I you know what? I don't know what to say. You're just
amazing.
Yeah. No, I'm not.
You
should be doing my job. That's all.
Right. You should be the rule, and yet you're the exception in Congress. And, you know, before we go, we've been talking, you know, there was an analysis in the LA Times yesterday about how the marriage equality issue could hurt them, so far as hurting the president. How do you think that is going to play out by the time we get to November?
I don't think it's going to hurt him by the time we get to November. I mean, I think the younger voters really get it. I do think that they rolled it out inartfully, and I give Vice President Biden a lot of credit And they should have just rolled it out through that without this whole apologies and I didn't mean to do it. It just sort of, it makes it less genuine. And I know that President Obama has been supportive of gay marriage for a long time.
Yeah.
And he just felt politically he couldn't take that step. So,
well, I hope he's not right. That's, you know, the one line in the LA Times that says, it could bear out the president's, because God forbid, as I was saying today, if we get a President Romney, we're going to go back, a zillion years on gay rights, aren't we?
On gay rights, on women's reproductive health issues, you name it. I mean,
unions.
You want to talk about turning back the clock.
We're back to preemptive war because he's apparently listening to John Bolton more than anybody else. I mean, it's terrifying.
That's right. And we're gonna be everywhere in a war stance. I mean, we've also got to get back to paying as we go when we engage in war, because as long as it's off the books, the American people don't feel it.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And yet, we're now in debt to both China and Japan for over $1 trillion. I mean, wake up, America.
Yeah, exactly. Well said. And when Jackie Spear tells you to wake up, America. Representative Jackie
Listen
Spear.
Jackie.
She's ours. You can't have her, from California. We'll talk to you again real soon. Thank
All
you,
right.
Congresswoman.
Bye-bye.
All right, there she goes.
Mitt
She's
Romney,
so awesome.
Mitt Romney wants to tie the country to the top of his station wagon.
Exactly.
Yeah, it should be.
All right, we're going
now.
To think of some more Island of Misfit Military Toys during the break and be back with that. With Rick Overton live in studio on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Eek. I just spewed on my dashboard again. It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12. How awesome, Representative Jackie Spear. Love
She's
her.
Great.
Yes, I've thought of some more Island of Misfit military toys, because she was talking about. I didn't know that, Jim. Did you? That we have we're building ships that don't
that
float.
Don't float. Yeah.
Nice.
They're
planes
called
that
submarines.
Can't.
Yeah, but they're supposed to be able to float part
right.
of the time.
Right. Planes that can't fly in the rain. I think we have a tank that squirts grape jelly. It's
Well, that'd be fun.
All right.
A wagon with square wheels.
There you go.
Here comes the gravy tank. Gravy tank.
What
kids love it.
Gravy the doll tank. Cried something. It wasn't tears. It was like gravy or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ooh. Something.
Yeah.
No, that's the Paula Deen doll.
Yeah.
Oh, hey. Ladies and flavins. Carl in Nashville. Hi, Carl.
And listen, don't forget the water gun that shoots jelly.
That's what I said. Well, we have a tank that shoots grape jelly. Yes. All right.
Absolutely. You know, as far as polls, I've always been skeptical of polls. And this is the reason why the only person I know that have a landline phone anymore, one, is my 86-year-old grandmother.
Yes.
That's it. No one else.
Yep.
And in all the years that I actually lived in houses that had landlines, no one has ever called me. Never. Not once. The pole. And we had a household.
Yeah, it's nothing ever good when your home phone rings.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. And then I guess as of about 4 years ago, when I looked around and I noticed that me, my wife, and my oldest daughter had cell phones, and I'm thinking to myself, why do we need a landline anymore? So I took my landline out. But before then, all the time I've been married, I've never received a call from a pollster. So
yeah.
I'm always thinking, who the hell are these people polling, and why are they speaking for me?
Right. And, Carl, a lot of it, the point is this, that no kids have landlines. They all have cell phones. And, and obviously the polling skews vastly toward marriage equality the younger you get. So, it could be we're getting unnecessarily hysterical.
My phone always tells me who's calling. Call from Snurkerflavishmit.
Right, and then right away.
Yeah,
you
scream that
sometimes
out.
Sometimes you look at the ringing phone, you're like, telemarketer, crazy ex. I don't think I'll answer. No.
Call from Northview.
Oh, that's right. You have the thing that announces
yes.
who's calling.
Right.
That's so weird.
Jim's been doing
crazy.
That to me for years. Every time I call him, he goes, Miller, Stephanie.
Miller, Stephanie.
It's like GPS trying to guess Spanish-named streets.
Yes.
La Cienega.
Sepulveda.
Yeah.
Time to turn on Sepulveda. Yeah, it's like I was
saying.
Turn
right at La Jolla.
Yeah, La Jolla.
It's the you know, the tone. Hello, Ms. Miller. No, thank you. Okay, yeah. And then it's just whatever it is. No,
I feel bad for him. I tell him before you run down the whole sheet. I used to have your job, and I think you're doing a great job. Oh, thanks, but I gotta go.
I gotta go now.
They don't get hurt by their boss, you know.
Oh well, yeah. We said I'm doing a great job.
No, I'm polite. I'm just very time efficient. Because I did too. I used to sell pens on the phone.
I was a telemarketer
as well.
Now
that I'm old and crotchety, I don't even bother to tell them. I'm sorry. I know you have. I'm sorry. No.
Yeah.
Click.
But you know what? Most of them now are robocalls. Yeah, they're computers that are calling you, and so you don't need to be nice to a computer.
Yeah. By the way,
I'm sorry. Could you repeat that, Dave?
By the way,
please stop.
I'm scared.
By the way, any Democratic campaign robocalls? No need to call me. I feel like talking back. Do you know who I am? I do this for a living. Okay. Yes.
I'm on your side.
Okay. Yes. Of course, I'm going to vote.
Would you still vote for Obama if you knew he was a gay Martian?
Hello, Stephanie. It's Governor Jerry Brown. I got your back, Jerry. Okay? I got it. I know.
Can you send me a check?
Okay, on that, no. But still, I got your back. Robin in New Hampshire. Hey, Robin.
Hey, Steph.
Hey.
It's great to talk to you guys. I just wanted to weigh in on the issue about marriage equality. I'm an ordained Baptist minister.
Ooh. Oh, my goodness.
Well, as a lesbian in a committed relationship.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Do you know we exist? Isn't that kind of
amazing?
Wow, that is
so you're instituting change from the inside rather than complaining on the outside.
We do a lot of both.
All right. Good for you. You know, I think that's very effective, is to get in the middle of it and start changing it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and actually, I'm the executive director for a group of churches and people, the Association of Welcoming and Affirming Baptists, and we've been around for, as a church organization for 20 years and as people for over 35 years working inside Baptist communities to make it okay for queer folk to participate and get married and be ordained and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, one of the pieces about this conversation I think that is important is to really watch our language about church. You guys talk about the church as if it's a monolith, and it's really not.
Right.
There are many, many progressive Christian, Jewish, Muslim, and other religious organizations out there working really hard to change the narrative about what it means to be a person of faith and to be inclusive. And I know that my organization and my community stand strongly in the stream of justice and civil rights that, you know, Martin King Jr. worked in and a lot of other folks who see this as a biblical and moral imperative and not just, a political football to be pushed around.
You're getting your Bible all in their bigotry, and that is not, good for you. And and by the way, good use of the word monolith. Much appreciated here on the Stephanie Miller Show. All right, Robin, thank you.
So, yeah, speaking of 2001 Space Odyssey, monolith.
There you go.
Dave, I really think you should take a stress pill and think things over. I know things have not been quite right with me lately.
Liz, so creepy. Liz in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Liz.
Hi. I'm a Protestant clergyman. Go Robin. I think that was her name right before.
Yeah.
I was calling with pretty much the same point that there are crazy, homophobic, racist, misogynist Christians all over the world. But, you know, not all of us are, and there are clergy who are, just like she was saying, they're standing in there. And I will tell you, my greatest hope is that, you know, the generation that's making these crazy decisions, they're going to die.
Right.
And it's the only hope I really have.
Liz, on that note, though, WTF in Virginia, the House just rejected a judge because he's gay. Did you hear about that?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, because of his, quote-unquote, behavior. As if he's an unruly toddler.
Wow.
Wow.
And
we'll
yet Clarence Thomas is still...
We'll talk about that, and James Lipton will teach Mitt Romney how to act more human as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the least of my problems.
We are having a day. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Except on television, where everything is magical all the time. Current TV broadcast has been spotless.
Clean my coats.
However, after not being on the air at all, what was it for most of the first hour?
Yeah.
Including the Dan Rather interview, then now we're, I don't know, sending the wrong tones or something, and all our local stations are going cattywampus. We apologize. It's my fault. It's my fault for attempting to live with dogs and cats together. I apologize. I made the world go wild.
Let me just say that it's not me that's sending the wrong tone.
No.
It's something that's happening.
No, something that he will just be in a simmering rage about all day.
And we're troubleshooting it right now.
Which is perfect during a live broadcast. We're just spitballing. Okay.
You know that thing where, you know, when I was a kid and
yes.
I couldn't get the Lincoln Logs to look exactly like
box.
It looked on the box?
Right.
I'm having flashbacks to that. I just want to throw the show against the wall.
I know. You just asked if you can go home, and I said no.
The computer says no.
Because then it would be even worse, technically. Jim and I would just be... We barely even have opposable thumbs, technically. We're just like, I don't, we'll just hit all the buttons at once. Rick Overton, comedian extraordinaire, saving the day.
Yes.
Saving the show with his comedic genius.
Good. Saving it for later.
Exactly.
It's a pleasure to be here, and thank I love you. That you're on TV.
Yay! We've gotten considerably more patriotic since you were here last. Do you like all our stars and stripes? And
fantastic.
It's Captain America's underpants.
Yes.
I think all, you know, the right doesn't deserve to be the only one with a flag.
It's right.
You
that's
know,
right.
And I don't think they deserve an elephant.
Yeah, right.
I don't think you haven't earned an elephant, okay? Elephant's an awesome animal, and you haven't earned it.
Yeah, this is and the magic continues in the Republican primary. The headline is rivals airbrush anti-Romney words. Remember Newt Gingrich calling Mitt Romney a liar? Michelle Bachmann saying he's unelectable? Rick Santorum calling him the worst Republican in the country to
perfectly.
Run against Obama?
Mitt Romney is the greatest guy ever.
Yes.
Stand by that, perfect.
Everything will be just edited with a meat axe. Mitt Romney is...
the greatest guy ever.
They're hoping you don't, acting like it never happened, even though most of their words are just clicks away online, one by one. With the exception of Ron Paul, the GOP also ran some coughed up endorsements, including our personal favorite. And I thought it was going to be tough to win the most tepid endorsement of Mitt Romney, but George W. Bush, before an elevator door closed on him. Yeah, yeah. I'm for Ron.
I'm going to vote for Ron.
Romney.
I guess if I have to.
He could have said Romulan, because we don't really know. The door closed.
The other Kardashian.
But we are helpers, as is James Lipton from the Actors Studio. He did a little seminar for Mitt Romney to teach him how to act more human.
This is good.
Since politics and performance have become pretty much fused, and since you've been criticized by some for not coming across as authentic to your public, maybe we can sort of work on that today. Let's start with your laugh.
You know, I live for laughter. I mean,
it isn't working. It's inert. It just doesn't come across as genuine. Worst of all, it's mirthless, which is to say that while you expect us to be amused, you're not the least bit amused yourself. I've advised people who are watching you to freeze the frame and then put their hands over the lower part of your face and look at your eyes. There's no pleasure there. We like to depend on a great actor and director named Konstantin Stanislavski. One of his central principles for actors was relaxation.
This is an unusual interview. All right, let's do it again. I'm speaking.
I remember once in a rehearsal, the director saying to an actor who was trying much, much too hard on the stage, relax, you've got the job. Well, now that it appears that you're going to get the Republican nomination, I would propose to you that you relax. Not so easily done, but it's something you have to work on, I think. Only then can you begin to get in touch with yourself, and only when you get in touch with yourself will your audience begin to be in touch with you. That seems to be the problem.
All right. That's 4 minutes long. We've got to watch it.
And I'll post it up on your Facebook page.
Yeah, check it out, guys. It's hilarious.
It's very funny.
And true.
Rick Overton, famous actor who's been in an acting class or two himself.
Absolutely.
Someone in the chat room said, who's doing James Lipton?
No, that was James Lipton. That was actually James Lipton.
It was actually James Lipton.
I love America.
and seen.
Yeah. He has that.
How can you say I'm inauthentic?
Rick, he has that kind of sociopathic thing that George W. Bush had where it didn't match the... No giggling about executions.
They will be put to death.
No.
Yeah, Pat Robertson has that, too.
Burning the lake of fire.
There's a lot of people dying in Africa, but I love my diamonds.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but that's what we were saying, that he chuckled when Brian Kilmeade first brought up the high school bullying incident. It's like, no. Is there someone off stage?
There's a guy that looks like Giamatti somewhere in a trailer going, no!
He didn't listen to anything I said to him before!
What
I coached
doing?
Him for hours on this!
That's what I was saying. My favorite part of the Washington Post piece was described his, even in high school, his laughter as panicky.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like the guests on Real Time.
Right.
I know I'm in the enemy camp.
Look, I'm just as funny.
Grover Norquist just looked awfully uncomfortable last week.
He always looks uncomfortable. Yeah. When did he earn comfort?
Right.
They had to sign a pledge to be nice to him for
there
him to go on Bill Maher.
Yeah.
Hi! You see what I did?
Yeah,
pledge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I bet they did.
Yes. Willow in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Willow.
What about Twack and Twig?
Hey, Willow.
Get through to you and talk to you. I'm so impressed with your show.
Thank you.
You were talking about polls, and I used to teach elementary school, fifth and sixth graders, and so we'd start talking about statistics toward the end of the year, and we talked about polls. And one of the things I used to tell them is that using polls for making important decisions is like picking like a life mate or a brain surgeon. By reading bumper stickers and T-shirts, when I see a poll, I want to know what were all the questions, how were they framed, who conducted them,
right?
Who paid for them, what population was polled, what time of day was it conducted, how it was collected. And I don't see any of that. I see all these numbers, but I don't know if there's a website where you can actually read the entire script that was read to them, you know, or what.
Yeah. No. That's
usually, you can go back to the polling organization's website and look at all of the questions and how it's framed and everything they use there.
And the Fox News polls those are the best for comedy, just for the wording.
Yeah.
You know, is the president more Kenyan or socialist? Like your answers are only. Right. You know?
I do know that if it's really cold, you shouldn't put your tongue on a pole.
Yes. Exactly. Thank you.
Christmas story.
Mm-hmm. Phil in Boston, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Phil.
Good morning, Mama.
Good morning.
Morning, Mooks.
Morning.
Hey, by the way, love having Rick aboard. Can we keep him, Mama?
Can we keep him? I'll feed him. He doesn't eat much.
Hey, I got a couple of points I'd like to make, if you don't mind. Number one, I think that some of the attacks we've been running on Romney could have some unintended consequences. You know, the bullying incident with the cutting of the hair. You know, I can just hear some hardcore, you know, we know he's had a hard time rounding up the really hardcore base. I can just hear some guy down in Alabama going, you know, I thought he was a moderate Massachusetts mamby-pamby, but now I know he likes to slap gay people around and cut their hair. I think he might be my kind of guy.
All right. Good impression. Good impression. Yes. Thank you very much. Good impression. Okay.
The big question would be around that. Are there enough of those guys to make a difference? Because I know they get a lot of press, but in overall American numbers, how many of them are there? I know we're told by certain sources that there's more of them, but they inflate everything else, too.
And that's the other question about polling. You know, Jim, you brought this up about are people scared to say, and that could be good or bad in terms of marriage equality, or some people would be, there are embarrassed either way. They're embarrassed to say they're anti, or they're embarrassed to say they're for, but you know, so you don't know the true, how it's really going to shake out until people actually vote.
Right.
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world for a moment, see what's doing. Bill O'Reilly on income inequality.
Here's what I'm concerned about. The economy stinks because the federal government has botched it. If they get out of the way and let people develop small business, there'd be more jobs, and then you'd have more income. That's what I'm concerned about.
No, but income inequality has been ticking up nonstop.
Nobody
it
gives
is
you
not.
Anything. You earn it.
Ah, wow. I see.
Why does anyone ever go on a show? I mean, it's...
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. And plus...
I like to be yelled at.
Yeah, he's not right. No bully is ever right. Yeah. That's why they have to be forceful.
Here's, I'm going to push you on the floor and cut your hair.
Here's the Aikido move on them to know instantly. Any bully that has to talk to you like this, he's instantly wrong and is using fear to make you agree with him the way a gun makes you someone agree with you when you're wrong.
Because
without a gun, they wouldn't agree with you.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Rick Overton. Rush Limbaugh, speaking of bullies, Rush Limbaugh.
The Democrats are actually trying to build on Clinton being the first black president. Now Obama's the first every minority president. They look at America, they see groups of people, they see victims, they see people in misery, they see people in poverty, they see people in oppression, they see people being discriminated against, and those are the people they're gunning for in the campaign. And one of the groups that they've attempted to make believe is miserable is women.
But enough about your ex-wives. That was a whole explanation of all his ex-wives. Poor, miserable. Okay. 18 minutes after the hour, back with more Right Wing World with comedian Rick Overton live in studio as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Sweet Lady Gaga, that is good.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Hey, 23 minutes after the hour. Got class coming up the ass. 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Rick Overton live in studio with us, comedian extraordinaire. We are in the midst of a recorded Right Wing World and now a live one with Dan, my right wing love muffin in Seattle. Hi, Dan.
Morning.
Good morning.
Oh,
yeah, good morning.
You know, I'm listening to you guys with all this nitpicky rhetoric, and I think it's apparent. I mean, to me and everyone else.
Which nits have I picked this morning?
Well, mitt picking.
Oh, mitt picking.
No, I said nitpicking, but hey, since you said mitt. I mean, people don't want to, they're worried about the economy. And the one thing about, I could go a lot of stuff, but about Romney's incident, if it did happen.
Yes.
That doesn't mean he's the same person. He was a child. He was 18 years old or something.
Yes. Well, if that were true, why wouldn't he just apologize? And be a man about it.
He said, "If whatever
if,
it was,
yes, if,
yes,
yes,
if it happens, yes. if
well,
anybody."
Wait, okay, the thing is, but you guys bring up like I used to do nothing like that, but I wasn't a bully. I teased people. I'm the most gracious person there is now, and I'm 50 some years old.
Mm-hmm.
So people that has nothing to do with this. And you guys,
well, it didn't seem at all suspicious to you. I think what people were reacting to is he said, "I don't remember it happening, but I do know that I didn't know he was gay." So
and he chuckled warmly while remembering the incident.
You're bringing in this gay stuff. People want they care about the economy now, and you guys know
we're talking about the character of the guy running for president.
You guys don't let anyone talk either. You know, deep down, you got to know deep down, Obama's going to lose, and that's
okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's apparent.
So you must be happy.
What?
So you must be happy.
Why do you sound so angry then?
I'm not angry. I just wonder why you guys go off on these character assassinations when the country...
Because I think the character of the man running for president is important. And we've talked about why Obama is better on the economy endlessly on this show.
Oh, my God. Well, anyway, that's a...
Do you know about Bain Capital? Do you know what he did with Bain Capital? Do you know about that?
Of course. You guys don't, apparently, because I've heard you guys. You don't know anything about what he's done.
Do you know,
really?
Do you know
I'm sitting in a radio station that was taken over by Bain Capital, and I can tell you how many people lost jobs.
About that happens. That's the economy. He also helps.
It tends to happen a lot more often
anyway,
when Mitt Romney takes over a company.
Yeah.
But the
do you know how many lives he's destroyed?
Well, another thing, he doesn't work for Bain Capital anymore.
I see. So that's
okay, so everything that he's done is just erase.
He's not in high school anymore. It doesn't matter. He's not at Bain.
World War II was over a long time ago.
Yes.
Let them
stop looking in the past.
That pack of Cub Scouts you hit—that's in the past.
That's in the rearview mirror. Don't look.
They're
there.
In the rearview mirror. So you were drunk. They're in the past now.
He was a vulture capitalist. He destroyed companies and profited from it, and wiped a lot of people's careers and lives out. That's our main concern.
Exactly.
So,
and we're only using these other issues.
So
the way
Hitler...
you bust Capone for tax evasion is trying to get him on everything.
Right.
It's a war against a guy who was a vulture capitalist, and it is a philosophical war. You're not going to change our mind about it. It's going to be a war.
against him because of that. And if you agree with the fact that he did those things, that's like a character flaw of yours.
And oh, fellow, Jim. Fellow so capitalists. Hitler did
whatever.
That, we're not in
what
World War II now.
Past. Yeah, you, if you think that that's okay that he did that to other Americans, you're not the gracious guy that you say you are.
Yeah. All right, let's continue. Well, that was fun.
Yeah.
That got our blood going.
Hooray!
Let's,
boy,
let's continue.
He got, like, shouty angry quick. He's not that gracious.
I'm not angry!
Yeah.
Hello! Right. Good morning!
You're not realistic about yourself,
you ought to be
man.
Happy that Obama is going to lose this.
I'm not happy or angry! Shut up!
Okay.
He sounds like he's a little worried that his guy's not going to win.
Wow. All right, let's continue, Right Wing World. Sean Hannity.
The president now has a record. His record has failed miserably. No. She doesn't want to talk about the $5 trillion in debt. She doesn't want to talk about no net new jobs. She wants to focus on the superfluous. This war on women seemingly has backfired, according to the CBS poll.
Women aren't stupid. They, you know, you can look at it state after state, whether it's transvaginal probes or it's, women's health care. What was Jackie Spirit is talking about? Of course, that's where they're going to go. Women's health programs. That's where we're going to get the money so that we can have the ship that doesn't float.
Yeah. They're pretending that Obama is a king and everything is up to him. It's the Republicans who've admitted that they want to deny him a second term, and they'll do everything in their power to make sure the economy crashes to make that happen.
Yeah, right.
They've admitted it.
Yeah. All right. Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Bear.
If Romney wins the election, all of this is moot because you're not going to have Republicans holding a Republican president-elect hostage on the debt ceiling. So obviously Obama has a program on the debt. The House of Representatives will support him, and it will be enacted, assuming he's elected. If he's not elected, then we're back to where we were last year. And what Republicans have discovered is that you cannot govern America from a single house of the Congress. If they try it again, they get punched in the nose again.
Oh, I see. So the only solution now is to elect Romney and a hugely Republican Congress.
That's right.
Yes.
That'll fix it.
You know how you do.
Wait, did he just admit at the beginning of that they wouldn't do this to Romney? That they're only doing it to President Obama?
He came out and said that they're ruining everything he's trying to do.
That's the best.
He tipped the hat.
Gee, you would think, actually, magically, the solution would be to re-elect President Obama and Democratic majorities. It would work that way, too, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
If you're going to be consistent.
Yeah.
Has Charles Krauthammer ever been consistent?
Yeah, Fox is consistent, nothing else.
Please.
All right. You were making a joke about Pat Robertson earlier. We have Pat Robertson coming up in Right Wing World.
Outstanding.
As we continue a skosh more Right Wing World with Rick Overton on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12.
You're right.
Stephanie Miller.
Super hot lady who my wife keeps telling me why you're famous, but I keep forgetting.
Me too.
Is this on? Hello?
Hello. Testing.
1, 2, 3.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere as we finish up Right Wing World. Pat Robertson.
Oh, yeah.
Laugh at all the wrong places.
Here's some gay bashing, but with some chuckles in it.
The bottom line is a male is equipped in a particular fashion, and
really?
A female is equipped in a particular fashion.
I was not aware of that.
The union of the two brings forth children.
Oh.
The union of two men doesn't bring forth anything except disease, apparently, and suffering, and the same thing of the union in two women.
Uh-huh. Well,
right.
How? Apparently I'm diseased and suffering. I had no idea.
The suffering, maybe.
That's self-inflicted wounds. Wow. So, once again, here we go with this argument. So, what about childless couples?
Yep.
No?
Says
no on you either.
What about women who've gone
by the Lord?
Women who've gone through menopause?
Yes. No.
Yeah. Immediately divorce your husband because you can't have children.
They will be put to death.
Oh, boy. This is just a confusing time for gay rights, isn't it? I was telling you the story earlier. Virginia House rejects a judge because he's gay.
Yeah.
Really? Tracy Thorne Begland is his name. Served his country for 20 years in the Navy. rose to become one of the top prosecutors in Richmond, Virginia, sponsored for a judgeship by a bipartisan mix of state lawmakers, thought he was going to be a shoo-in, mm-hmm. and then no.
Says no.
He cannot play in any of their reindeer judge games,
think
apparently.
Of a couple of people on the Supreme Court who should be kicked out for being idiots.
Yes.
Well,
there's that.
There's that.
Jeez.
And that happened.
talking to you, Clarence Thomas. Okay. All right. Delegate Bob Marshall said he will seek to remove the name of this prosecutor because
Bob Marshall, isn't he a game show host?
He called him a homosexual activist. Isn't that the thing they call anyone that's just gay?
Well, if you're gay and breathing, you're a homosexual activist.
Yeah, apparently.
Anyone that isn't exactly like them is an activist.
Yes. I'm inactively gay. Maybe I'm not then. I'm a loser. We have a constitution which says marriage is between one man and one woman. If he's taking an oath, he has to uphold and defend that as a judge. If his lifestyle is contrary to that, I don't see how he can do that.
What?
I don't.
Contrary to what?
And so then last night, the Virginia House of Delegates fell 18 votes short, effectively killing his opportunity to become a judge. Yeah. He said, I don't think it's proper to put his name forward because of his behavior, as if he's an unruly toddler of some kind. Yeah.
Behavior.
So that happened. Okay. All right. And we finish Right Wing World with Steve Hayes on the Brit Bear.
People who are inside of it are just now talking to one another to try to understand what these different parts actually did that caused the problem. And yet you hear from Washington immediately calls for tighter regulations. Yeah. I mean, it's not even clear that this would have been prevented by the regulations had they been fully implemented
it
at this point. And yet you have these calls for tighter regulations. It's a typical Washington response to a problem that may not yet even need a solution.
Yeah, no, it's not even a problem.
Let the markets be free.
Yes.
Have no rules at all.
Less regulation, always the answer.
Don't listen to what I'm saying. Just listen to how I'm saying it.
Yes.
Be relaxed while I talk.
James in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, James.
Good morning.
Good
How are
morning.
You?
Good. Go ahead.
My question is, first of all, a thought. To people of color in this country who think that the president did the wrong thing by speaking out against discrimination, as a 65-year-old black man living in America, I know what discrimination is. I know what it feels like.
Yep.
It's not good. What I wanted to ask, when they say that government doesn't create jobs, it would be interesting to know what Dick Lugar would get in retirement plus his health care plan that we, the taxpayers, are going to pay. And it would also be interesting to know what was his net worth when he went into Congress and what is his net worth now, because I'm thinking being in Congress or the Senate, that's big money. That's the job to have as a middle-class American.
Except he was the one reasonable Republican that would probably agree with you on many issues. Oh, by the way, Chuck Hagel, the latest reasonable Republican to talk about how his party has become...
Yeah,
he said, it started with Senator John Danforth, remember him, Republican in Missouri, said his party was becoming increasingly inconsequential and intolerant following the defeat of Dick Lugar. Now former Senator Chuck Hagel, Republican of Nebraska, said Friday the Republican Party is in the hands of the right, I would say the extreme right, more than ever before. He said Reagan wouldn't identify with this party. There's a streak of intolerance in the Republican Party today that scares people. Ronald Reagan was never driven by ideology. He was a conservative, but he was a practical conservative. He wanted limited government, but he used government, and he used it many times. And he would work with the other party now. So he talks about it. You've got a Republican Party's having difficulty facing up to the fact that if you look at what happened during the first 8 years of the century, it was under Republican direction. Republican leadership got us into this mess. Thank you, Chuck Hagel.
If Chuck Hagel were running on the Republican side, I wouldn't be terribly concerned.
He said the same thing we've said. They wouldn't have Nixon. They wouldn't have Eisenhower today.
Right, wouldn't have him.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, the Obama campaign, not mincing their tweets, they tweeted yesterday, I'll stop blaming Bush when Mitt Romney stops wanting to return to his failed policies. Remember how we got here, refused to go back.
Mm-hmm.
They also tweeted about Romney, load up a steel mill with debt, bankrupt it, then walk away with millions. That's Romney economic, and it's wrong. Retweet if you agree.
Yep.
Yahoo, I say. The president on The View talking
What's going to determine the election is the economy, and whether people feel as if America continues to be this extraordinary land of opportunity.
Did you see him on The View? Just handsome and romantic, funny, charming. Just saying.
He
just is.
He's not a Labrador. Come on.
Speaking of Labradors on your roof, Mitt Romney.
President Obama tucked away the Clinton Doctrine in his large drawer of discarded ideas, along with transparency and bipartisanship. It's enough to make you wonder if maybe it was a personal beef with the Clintons, but probably that it runs much deeper than that.
Oh, I see. Thank you for your pop psychology. they run this play every time that, yeah. Oh, the Clintons, they secretly hate each other, you know. And by the way, if you watch, a lot of the people played that clip of Hillary Clinton's endorsement of him after the primary.
Mm-hmm.
That was a full-throated endorsement.
Yes.
That was a sincere endorsement. You look at, up to yesterday's George W. Bush before the elevator closed. And you think,
I guess he'll do.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, everyone in your party loves your nominee. You're right. Only the disarray is in our party.
And if Obama had a beef with the Clintons, I don't think Hillary Clinton would be his Secretary of State.
Yeah.
Right. Just a thing.
Probably not. Hack in Oklahoma, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Hack.
Hey, Stephanie. Hey, talking about the debt ceiling, when we were downgraded, I think the only agency that downgraded us was Standard & Poor.
Right.
The very same Standard & Poor who thought mortgage-backed securities were a safe bet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. By the way, so Boehner getting ready to do it again, the Boehner yesterday.
What I'm trying to do here is use the debt ceiling. It's an action-forcing event to force the process here to deliver more change than what it would produce on its own.
Yes, the change being getting President Obama out of the White House. Getting mittens
That's
in.
That's our whole point. Get him out of the White House and we'll bring the country down over after. this is our good way to start fire, Bourbon.
Maybe you could explain this whole thing with this headline. The right wants more from Boehner.
Yep.
Yeah,
they don't like the job he's doing.
They want bolder, more aggressive leadership from the Boehner.
Sure. More orange leadership.
Yes, it's more orange enough. Exactly. The Boehner yesterday.
The next 2 years could be the most consequential 2 years we see in Washington and have seen in the last 50 or 60 years. It is a line in the sand because Washington has kicked the can down a road, and the American people think we're crazy.
Yeah.
They think you're crazy, yes.
Yes. They're greedy. You are the can they're going to kick down the road. If you don't. I mean, the story is terrifying. The right wants more from Boehner. Passing the budget of Paul Ryan's a start. But it's hardly enough, they say. Republicans should be touting their proposed overhaul of Medicare and Medicaid. Overhaul meaning
destruction.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And passing more bills to show their plan to deal with the nation's crumbling entitlement system is more responsible than Obama's. We want to play to win, said one of the tea packers.
Yeah.
Conservatives privately griping about having to vote for an extension of federally subsidized student loan rates. Yeah, they don't want to have to do anything for anybody other than their top 1%.
No, any money you earn it.
Jay Carney, the president's press secretary. Yesterday.
Many Americans are still understandably anxious about the economy that we have and about... where it's going for them personally and where it's going nationally.
Jim, you wouldn't like Harry Reid when he's angry. You just wouldn't.
Republicans can grandstand all they want. The fact is, any agreement to avoid a fiscal cliff facing us at the end of this year must not gut programs that support the middle class.
And I'm sorry you had to hear me like this. I'm enraged right now.
And Tim Geithner, warning again.
Only Congress, of course, can act to raise the debt limit. And, you know, we hope they do it this time without the drama and the pain and the damage they caused the country last July.
Mm. Speaking of drama, so the Ron Paul campaign.
Oh.
I love this.
Bless their heart.
There still is one?
Yes, they acknowledge they don't have a chance of winning the nomination. They still want to bring a large active delegation. Oh, they are active.
Mm.
To the Republican National Convention, promoting fears of an ugly confrontation with mainstream GOPers, a scenario the Paul campaign desperately wants to avoid.
That could be like Chicago in 68.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
A Paul spokesman stressed that Paul would insist reporters show respect, a word he leased at least 8 times in attending the Tampa event. We're emphasizing decorum. Because when you think of Ron Paul fans, you think respect and decorum.
That's what I think.
Yeah, that's what you think. And we're going to do everything in our power to work with our supporters to make sure that decorum and respect are the name of the
game.
Sure,
right. Do whatever you want. You're free. Free to do.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Fire departments, that's crazy.
Paul has been in touch with kids. Aren't they sort of at heart anarchists? What, yeah, you're going to tell them?
Right.
Don't you act polite at the convention.
Polite anarchy.
Paul has been in touch with the Romney campaign to discuss platform issues and said the former governor has been helpful. How much you want to bet if Romney did talk to him on the phone, he was doing that crazy thing on the
side? Yeah. Okay. Oh, sure, Ron. Yeah.
I hear
what you're saying. Woo.
As for Paul supporting Romney, though, the spokesperson said, it's not likely. No.
Compute says no. Nah.
Not going to do it.
Yeah, that's the only fun we have to look forward to is the crazy Uncle Liberty's fans.
Yeah.
All right, 46 minutes after the hour, back with the closing moments. Rick Overton live in studio in the Stephanie Miller Show.
If you turn her on, she'll turn you on.
Oh, God.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the
word.
Ow.
Some sort of Cherberg. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Well, looky here. You know how Current always replays the least crappy of our hours?
Yes.
At 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern,
yep,
every day. They're playing the complete disaster that was hour one.
They are.
Oh, check it out. It was a sitcom. It was... Well, because visually, apparently, it's fascinating. The wacky engineer, which, see, you can see now that... They're always cast correctly on television. They always look like the wacky engineer on WKRP. Why, look, it's, yeah.
To make it work, we'll have to speed it up. So the first hour will actually be about 8 minutes.
Panic. Chris screaming, the guy coming in.
Sparks, get in here, Sparks. Hi, Iota.
Do you remember the show that he spent, like, right underneath me the whole show?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was vaguely awkward. He was dealing with something under there that was not.
We love Mike Callahan.
Yes,
we
he is
love
awesome.
Him. He's an awesome engineer. However, that made for some interesting television, which is why we're replaying.
No, it was not his fault. He was trying to fix it.
No, it wasn't his fault. He, right.
Which apparently made for uncomfortable radio, but fascinating
television.
Tune in this afternoon, won't you?
Yes.
All right.
6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific,
please,
Current TV.
Witness our pain. It was reality TV at its best.
Share it. Share the pain.
Oh, I can't wait to see the looks that were on my face.
Oh, this is how you know something's wrong. I'll ask Chris a question. He's like... I'm like, oh, okay. It's the not now, honey, look that we're all used
maybe
to.
We'll replace the Kardashians with reality TV fodder.
And at that point, I don't want to worry your pretty little head with what's going on, and so I just remain calm.
The viewers can have a game show today: gastrointestinal distress or technical difficulties. What's wrong with Chris? All right.
He had the shrimp.
Yeah.
Yeah, he ate my day-old shrimp.
Yeah.
All right.
Hold my thumb.
Does anyone here know how to fly a radio station?
This is your captain speaking.
How we deal with real emergencies in live radio.
Yeah.
I've had that one before, as you recall. You remember once I broke like 10 minutes early because I was like, I don't...
Yeah.
I got a thing.
You had to
do
your thing. Kind of threw our affiliates into a tizzy.
Cover.
Talk amongst yourselves. I gotta go.
Yeah, now on TV we can do the stretch.
Yeah.
Stretch. I gotta... Okay. All right.
Stretch.
Okay. Jim, this is curious. A medical report compiled by the family physician of George Zimmerman...
Yes.
...found he had a fracture of the nose, a pair of black eyes, and two lacerations on the back of his...
Uh-huh. Well, why would he have a reason to lie about that?
He's the family doctor.
Yeah.
Family. It's got
the
family
report
in the
also
name.
Shows Zimmerman
nice
declined hospitalization the night of the shooting, and that
really?
Video from the police station appears to show no injuries. So that's
nothing.
Just saying, it's a little curious.
He was wearing a light gray shirt, and there was no blood on it.
No blood on it. Yeah.
So they also went to the laundromat too, as we previously said.
And the doctor gave the interview from his new condo.
Yeah.
And his new
car. No, I don't know. It's curious.
His new Mercedes.
Yeah.
But whatever happened, the contention is still that he started the confrontation, that he was stalking this kid.
Right.
And
picture George sitting in the room going, okay, I'm ready. Are you sure about this, George? Okay, bring the cameras in.
And there's a new picture of the back of his head that's bleeding where it's cropped differently, and it just sort of starts out of nowhere. There's no cut there. There's just blood dripping down the back of his head, as if he had been wearing a hat and someone threw fake blood on there and then took the hat off.
Blood from the party barn. Yeah.
Well, all this came from the police report, and we know how reliable the police are.
Yeah. Yes, of course. So, they're the police.
What is the main use for garbage of social media? And that is to make bad breakups even worse. to make them even meaner. Russell Brand has unfollowed Katy Perry on Twitter, apparently. Oh, that is the final straw.
Oh, my God. How can she possibly endure this?
I'm not following
you. No, Russell will not be funny anymore. Whereas before, he was hilarious.
Oh.
Look, I'm British and I'm tall.
Yeah, he reportedly he axed her from his follower list this week shortly after he was said to have emailed her asking for a second chance. I'm guessing the answer was no.
It says no.
Well, I'll show you. You're off my Twitter.
Unfriended, Missy.
Mm. Mm.
Take that.
Yeah, it's so eighth grade, isn't it?
Man.
Defriend that person.
He dissed a girl and he liked it.
She still has more than almost 20 million followers to keep her warm, so I think she'll be okay.
She'll be okay.
She'll soldier on somehow.
Take my advice. Kiss a girl. It'll be better. Okay. Jay-Z in other hip-hop news.
In other hip-hop news.
I have never lived down the day I started the sentence like that.
Yeah.
In other hip-hop news, Jay-Z is supporting gay marriage.
Very good.
He claims discrimination against a gay person the same as discriminating against a black person. Jay, arguably the most powerful person in hip-hop.
Yep.
So this is hip-hop news.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Said President Obama's decision to come out and support a gay marriage was the right thing to do. He said, I have always thought it was something that was still holding the country back. What people do in their own homes is their business. You can choose to love whoever you love. That's their business. It's no difference than discriminating against blacks. It's discrimination, pure and simple.
Good for him. So as far as celebrities go, Jay-Z is greater than Manny Pacquiao.
There you go.
Who
gets punched in the head for a living,
repeatedly.
Can we just say.
Yes. Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
All right, and I never thought I would give Elizabeth Hasselbeck a... But she has slammed Bristol Palin for her Obamacare.
Yeah.
She said, I have a major problem with her saying this. Number one, as you mature as a mother, you will also find out the conversations you have with your kids do influence how you place your opinions on the table. Secondly, for someone who was the victim of being brought into an election as a child of someone on the ticket, how dare you then bring in Sasha and Malia to this situation? You need to mature because you are not.
Yeah.
Good
for her. Elizabeth Hasselbeck is one of those young Republicans like Margaret Hoover, who's actually really forward-thinking on gay rights. So they're the future of the Republican Party, so there's a little bit of hope for them.
Wow.
Yeah, I had said earlier, I didn't read this part of Bristol Palin's original quote. Sometimes dads should lead their family in the right ways of thinking, meaning bigotry, I guess, in this case. In this case, it would have been nice if the president had been an actual leader and helped shape their thoughts instead of merely reflecting what many teenagers think after one too many episodes of Glee.
In other
words,
God.
He should have instructed them to hate gay people.
Well, yes, apparently.
Yeah, all right.
Obama has been much more of a leader than Palin has ever been.
And
she quit halfway through her term.
Exactly. And as we've said before, who cares what some failed vice presidential candidate's daughter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really. You know what those people are like.
Well, proving once again that I'm doing the wrong kind of talk show hosting, and apparently we're all doing the wrong kind of comedy. Ryan Seacrest buys Ellen DeGeneres' house for almost $50 million.
I hear he does a morning show.
$50 mil.
I bet you he never needs an engineer to fix things. I bet things are just flawless over that operation.
Yeah, do they have a guest house maybe I can rent?
Mm. Rick Overton. RickOverton.com.
Dot net.
And check me out tomorrow, Comedy Magic Club, George Carlin's birthday show.
Yay! See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Bye.